Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. Well, my usual introduction is, well, it's just another gorgeous Thursday in New Jersey. However, it's monsoon time out there. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my very special guest this evening, who I have met many, many, many moons ago, Sharon Lasher. And welcome, Sharon. Sharon's a singer, a fantastic singer, and a teacher, and we'll get more talking about that later. But welcome, Sharon, to Ryan Rocks It Asbury Park Style.
Hey, thanks, Nancy. It's great to be on the show with you.
Yeah, it's, gosh, I remember meeting you a really long time ago, and, you know, I'm hearing you sing many times, and I think the first photo I ever took of you was way back at the show. Oh, I'm going to ask you the question. I see that I already lost it, and I just started the show. Okay, because I'm all
that's
over the
okay.
Place. I didn't even have any. Well, yeah, I did have some sweets before the show, come to think of it. That always gets me going. But anyway, so my question is this. So you're a singer, a songwriter. You write songs as well, and you're a teacher.
Yes.
And I want to know, while you were growing up, like, who influenced you the most growing up and why? Like, who influenced you becoming who you are today?
All right. Well, I guess there's a few I'm going to choose. Musically, I'd have to say without a doubt that would be Bonnie Raitt. You know, I've been singing all my life. There's a lot of music in my house. We always had that, you know, that big console record player my mom had with Andy Williams and Nat King Cole and the Mills Brothers and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I grew up singing that kind of music in the house because my family's just very musical, brothers and my sister and my children as well. So I think that that's what I grew up listening and singing first. And then the live TV shows, you know, Glenn Campbell and Dolly Parton and of course, Sonny and Cher, those kind of shows that had live music. That was a big influence on me. But in 10th grade, my brother gave me a Bonnie Raitt album, not her first, my first home plate. And it just changed everything for me. It went from pop music, bubblegum, you know, beautiful three-part harmonies, which I love to sing. That's, you know, a lot of where I learned to sing on listening to the AM radio growing up. But then, you know, Bonnie Raitt was a completely different thing. You know, I was young, so I didn't know exactly what she was singing about, but I knew it was something, and it was deep and heartfelt. And then from
right.
there, I went to from Bonnie Raitt, and then I went to her back to her original, the first few albums that were really bluesy. You know, she was singing with Sippy Wallace and Charles Brown and Ruth Brown and Mavis Staples. You know, and she was only in her
20s. Oh, wow, my gosh. Yeah.
Right? And turned on to all these great people. So that just began my searching, not just listening to the music that was put forth on the radio, but searching for that kind of music and her voice and, you know, to have a woman back then in the early 70s that was that powerful. And they didn't just say she was a good guitar player for a girl. You know, she's the real deal.
Right, exactly. So, right, yes.
Right? And
yes,
she's just
yes.
so powerful.
Yeah. And
then from
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, then Jackson Browne. And, you know, it's just Jackson Browne, the songwriting is just phenomenal. And, I thought Bonnie Raitt wrote all the songs that she did, and then I came to find out that some of them that I love the best were actually Jackson Browne songs. So, you know, that style of Americana writing, you know, blues-infused, you know, and then California music. So I think that was definitely
right.
my biggest influence. You know, Simon and Garfunkel and the Beatles, of course. My brother Michael is a great guitar player, and he's older than me. So I got to hear all the cool stuff, all the Bowie and Mountain and Iggy Pop and all that kind of stuff. I got to be able to sit, you know, at the bottom of the stairs and listen to that. So that that also broadened my horizons, you know?
Right. That's fabulous. That's fabulous information, Sean. Because, you know, I've seen you around and known you for a while, and I'm finding out talking with you tonight now that we have such similar backgrounds. And, you know, I have an older brother as well, and I'm a singer. And when you say Bonnie Raitt, it's like immediately I can relate. I sang at actually a club in California where Bonnie Raitt sang the Burnt Tavern and in Solana Beach. And that's where, when I lived there, we had, you know, I met B.B. King there. It's like, I'm sorry, I love the Stone Pony and everything, but when I moved to San Diego in my early 30s, it was like being transported music-wise to, like, getting on that jet plane. It was, like, it's so awesome. And I, too, grew up with that same environment. My mother was a singer, and my brother was a budding guitar player at, like, 12 years old, starting to play guitar, and I was listening to him, and everyone else in the world. My mother constantly had music on. And I sang, you know, my whole life growing up in parochial school. So, yeah, that my question was going to be, so, you know, we both have these older brothers that kind of influenced us in the environment. But how many siblings do you have? Oh, and of course, we're both Irish lassies. We're both Irish girls from Jersey. Jersey,
well,
Irish
there's
the best.
Yeah. We have a lot in common. Well, there's six of us. I have three older brothers and a younger brother and sister. We also grew up in the Catholic Church, Our Lady of Lourdes school and church in West Orange. And we didn't have any music really in the school. You know, we had First Friday Mass and Sister Frances sort of singing hymns, but that was the extent. So we're all self-taught. Yeah, we're all self-taught. My brother and myself, my sister's a very good singer. And, you know, we learned with our ears and singing. And,
right.
And that was
right.
Another thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And pretty much, except that I must say that Holy Spirit Grammar School in Asbury Park had it was the Dominican nuns, and they had an outrageous choir. And I was singing in that choir from very young, and we were doing the Mass in Latin in, like, four-part harmonies. And so I started singing very young. I was singing, actually, my mother told me I was singing, like, I would rock in the chair on the porch and sing the Woody Woodpecker song. And this little boy came over
and
wanted me to shut up already. And it's like, well, people don't tell me that today, thank God. But, you know, I have two. I can really relate to listening to all the greats, Nancy Wilson, and I'm a bit older. I'm more than a bit older than you are, I think. But in any case, my mother had such a diversified love of music. She was listening to Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson. I didn't even know that till she passed away, and I inherited some of her albums. And she had thousands of albums, and my sister gave most of them away, but I grabbed a bunch, and I couldn't believe that she would have not just those singers, but, you know, Glen Campbell and all of the greats. But she also had West Side Story and Barbra Streisand and Perry Como and even Jackie
West
Gleason.
Side
so,
Story.
Yeah, I grew up with all of that. I grew up with, gosh, you name it, and I listened to it, and it was really, really a fabulous way. And I remember I went to one voice lesson, and I came home, and I just said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to ice skate. And that's what I did. I ice skated, and I loved that. But getting back to you, Sharon, because I didn't really noticed until I promoted you and did a little research, you know, that I kind of knew you were a teacher, but I didn't know when I saw that spider in your hand. So tell us what first of all, I mean, you don't have to jump right to the teaching. You could talk more about, you know, if you want to talk about, like, your first experience in a band
right.
or whatever. But we
we'll
can
get there. But since
you
brought up my spider friend, I'm
I've been
teaching
science. Is that
yes.
a tarantula?
Yes, that was a rose. I believe that one was a rose kneed tarantula. I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and
you know,
that was actually
when I saw that. Heart failure when I saw that picture. I was like, because
well,
I have that one.
That one was not in my classroom. That one was actually at the insect
tropolis. Teacher, it's on the tip of my tongue. What is fear of spiders? Is
arachnophobia.
Arachnophobia. Well, I have
arachnophobia.
Yeah, I have that. So
no, I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated with all living things.
I am too, but not spiders. Thank you very much.
Well, they are beautiful and intriguing. So, I've been teaching science. What?
Go ahead. I was going to say, I'll tell you why, because I was sitting on the floor, putting my shoes on, getting ready to go to school, and I lived on Fifth Avenue, and I had one of those, I call them the thousand-leggers, they're really a centipede,
yeah.
I think. They're real long, and they have all those long little things. Well, I watched it fall from my leg all the way up. I froze. I couldn't even call for my mother. I was so terrified. And it crawled all the way up my arm, and it crawled up on my cheek, and it bit me right on the cheek. And I never...
Come on.
I was maybe 8 years old. So anyway, from that point on, and then I went to... I belonged to the Sierra Club, and I went on one of those things, and they had a spider specialist, and I walked in and walked right out because I said, oh, this is too terrifying for me. I can't... And
well,
I was...
I'll tell you what, Nancy.
Too.
Another day... You can come and hang out with me, and I will help you get over your fear, all right? I'm good at that.
Well, I take them out and put them, like, I thought I saw a brown necklace in my apartment, and so I had to kill it. But I don't like killing anything that's alive at all. But if I see a difference, like another little spider or something, I'm not that crazy that I won't go. I'll pick it up, and I just throw it outside. I say, you don't belong in here. You belong out there. But big ones. And I was in Maui, and my friend said, don't look now. And I'm like, what? And over in the corner of the guest house, it was a mansion, and behind was a guest house where the pool was. And I looked up, and there was the biggest tarantula that I ever saw in my life in the room that I was going to stay in that night. So I've had a few experiences. But anyway, getting back to you and your music, because I just think, I saw you, I didn't see you in person, I wish I had, but I watched the video, and I'm sure it's on YouTube, so everybody, you go and listen to Sharon sing, and I believe that Eric Green backed you up on a guitar, and you sang a song at the Strand Theater, and it was absolutely awesome.
Wonderful, yeah. Yeah, that was... I was actually the stage manager for that show. That was a beautiful benefit. And I did a couple of, acoustic numbers. And both of those numbers that I did there, actually I'm recording with Gary Oliard, fiddle player extraordinaire. He tours with Jim Messina of Loggins and Messina currently. And when not, he's around our very area. He's fantastic. He plays with Todd Robbins and Big John Perry and Alan Grant, a lot of the other great musicians around here. So we actually have about 5 songs completed, but I've had a difficult health year, so it's sort of gotten in the way of me getting back into the studio. But, you know, we will get that finished up. I think actually I want to go to Ireland, get myself refreshed. I'm going to be leaving for Ireland July 9th, be there till August 20th. And I will get my spirit renewed, hear some beautiful music, and sing a little bit. And when I get back, I'll get back into the studio with Gary Oliar and the other fine musicians, Paula Bruton on upright bass and electric bass, and Jeffrey Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's wonderful. And the music that I'm doing now is more, I'm doing the acoustic and Americana, more singer-songwriter. I've always had a little bit of a blues tinge in there because that's just where I fall, but that's kind of what we're doing now. I'm sorry
fabulous.
It's stalled out. It should be done. But the songs that you heard me sing at the Strand that night, we have those on the album. And Eric actually is the one. I have to give Eric Green a lot of credit. He's the one. We were rehearsing for something else, for another benefit. And after the rehearsal, we just sat, and he wanted to hear the kind of music that I'm doing because, you know, that was rock and roll we were doing. And I played a couple of these beautiful songs and sang a couple for him a cappella. And Eric said, Sharon, you know, we have to record these songs. You need to record them. So Eric is really the catalyst. I knew I wanted to record him, but I didn't get my feet moving. And Eric is the one who got me into the studio with Gary and with Paul and himself with Eric on guitar and doing some of the production. So, like I said, I'm looking forward to getting to Ireland, renewing my spirit and coming back and finishing it and getting it out there.
I wish I could snap my fingers and turn into a little leprechaun and stick myself in your suitcase and just be
well,
over there.
Well, you're
too.
Welcome to, Well, I was
love
also
Ireland.
Not
this year, but next year I think I'm going to be bugging you. I'll be calling you up. I'll be saving my pennies all year now because there's supposed to go to England, and that fell through. Anyway, I definitely want to go back. I was in Ireland for 14 beautiful days about 18 years ago, and I just fell in love with the country and the people, and everybody thought I, I was one of them until I opened my mouth. You know how that. You know, I had the red, really curly hair at the time, and my hair.
Oh, you look perfect.
In New Jersey, my hair is straight in New Jersey. That's why I don't really like New Jersey because it's terrible on your hair. But New Jersey. Okay, New Jersey. I love New Jersey. I was born here, for crying out loud. I grew up in Asbury Park and Allenhurst in my later years. And but the thing is, I don't like the weather. So
I know.
You know, well, Ireland. You know, Ireland has a lot of rain. That's why it's so green and everything. But I'm so happy for you going because I did also hear you singing with Irish players on your Facebook, and that was a few years ago. I heard you that you put up some things singing, and I thought that was just so cool because when I went, now I'm sure Ireland's changed a lot, and I've heard it's much more modern, but when I went, it was like old school, and I really got to experience, I mean, they didn't have computers, they didn't have anything when I went there, and I loved
it. Still, it depends on where you go, Nancy, because you have very traditional trad sessions, that's what they're calling them, Irish trad sessions, where it's mostly instrumental. These are really folk songs. These are generation after generation, they're passing these down. And a lot of them don't have singing. Or if they do, they have what's the Shannos style of singing, which is an a cappella, and it's a particular kind of an ancient Celtic style. But there's also, you know, again, you go down the road and there's going to be the ones that there's a trad session going on, but they'll say, hey, would anyone like to sing? And that's why I keep going back, because my first trip was a few years ago, really trying to heal from the concussion and all the crazy stuff going on. And I went and found this beautiful quiet in the all day long. And then I found this beautiful music. And, you know, the Irish love Americans. They love American music. They love country music. So they welcomed me. You know, they welcomed me. And I said, yes. Well, I'm hoping to get everywhere, but I've been to several trips now, and what I love the best is the Southwest, you know, Central and Southwest, County Kerry, and then just along the Galway all the way down to the Western way, the Wild Atlantic way. To me, it's rural. It's more like old school and old world, which is what I'm looking for. Right. You know, Dublin is very interesting, but I'm really not interested in the city. I'm meeting the folks and staying with making new friends and staying with people because they invite me into their homes because that's how gracious they are, and learning new songs and singing. Yeah.
It's really fabulous. I flew into Dublin and spent the weekend there, and then I traveled all over the country by car, and I got to see so much of the country. And I ended up staying in a place called Glengariff, and it was, like, awesome. The people, and then I would take little bus trips by myself. I'd be the only one on the bus, and I visited these castles and these little towns. And, of course, I went to the top of the Blarney Castle, and it's so funny we're talking tonight, because last night I was looking for a picture of me and Clarence. And so that he had given to me in Maui, and I ran into him in Maui on purpose, actually. And, well, I don't even want to get into that. It'll be in my book if my book ever gets finished. But anyway, we were friends for many years since I was in my 30s. But I was looking for, and I have all these albums, and I love photography too. So I have a whole album of churches and countryside and those gorgeous sheep with the black faces and all that long hair. And I just adore Ireland, and the people were absolutely awesome. They were always lovely. And what are you doing today? And lovely. Like I said, they thought I belonged there until I opened my mouth.
Yes, that's a favorite word. That is.
Anyway,
lovely is a favorite word.
Yeah. And always, do you need anything? Can I get you something? And, oh, have a lovely day.
Yes.
And I just was in my element, and the country, I loved it because it would change from being so beautiful, and then it would be rugged, and the river, it was awesome. It was awesome, that's all. I'm so happy for you that you're going again.
Yeah, it's
you're able
it's
to
wonderful.
Do that.
People have just been so wonderful. You know, I was going there needing to clear my head and to feel better, and it was everything and more that I wanted. And folks keep saying, like, why do you keep going back there? Why don't you, you know, travel somewhere else? And honestly, I just planned on going once because Ireland's been calling me all my life. And I had no understanding that it was going to be so all encompassing. Just what you said. Like my first trip was 3 summers ago, and I drove down the Wild Atlantic Way, parked the car, walked up into the cow pastures and to the bog. And then at night, I'd get a B&B and go listen to music. And there's no light pollution. At night, you can walk out into the bog, and I feel like you can see through our galaxy to the next. The stars are so vivid, and it's so quiet. You know, it's to me, it's the most beautiful feeling place.
And as I traveled,
folks would say, so where are you staying tonight? You know, they'd hear me sing and they enjoyed it. Well, where are you staying tonight? And I'd say, well, I'm going to go down the road and get a B&B. No, come and stay with me. And I decided that my answer is yes to just about everything. And I'm just following the energy of the universe, people being nice to me. And I've made friends, and I have families over there now. You know, people that I'm on the phone with all the time that I love dearly, and I can't wait to see. I just can't wait to see them.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure. It's just wonderful. Like I said, I have just so many great memories of going to Ireland, and I went into Belfast as well, and that was, like, kind of strange. It was like going when I was in California into the, you know, into Tijuana and up into Mexico. They had, you know, the army trucks and the guns and all that, and I went into this huge big pub, but my experience in Ireland was funny because I kept looking. I would go into the pub and I wanted to hear Irish music, and they were playing country music, and that was like 20 years ago. So unfortunately, where I really did hear the Irish music was in Dublin, and then I saw the Poets too on the street, and that was like my best experience in 14 days. I couldn't really find, like you were able to find really the Irish, and that's what I wanted. That because my nephew, God bless him, he was in a God bless him. My nephew Sean Bowler, he was an Irish singer in an Irish band and sang all over Manhattan. And unfortunately, he passed away many years ago. Sean and to all his brothers and sisters. And I come from a huge Irish, Austrian, German family. There's 7 of us, and I'm the second. My older brother than me, but what great heritage! And I looked up my ancestors, and they're really up on that too. So I went to Tipperary, where my great great grandfather was from, and my mother was from County Mayo. So yeah, okay, I'm putting some money away tonight, Ireland, in an envelope. Ireland is Darren.
That's it.
I want to go again.
I really was. Last year when I came home, there were so many people following me on Facebook, and a good, you know, everyone says they want to go, but there was really a good dozen folks that I think were serious. And my health just got in the way this year, so I couldn't make these plans. But I'm feeling like I said, this is going to be a nice, relaxing, healing trip for me. I'll come back feeling better, and I'm going to set up a tour next year because, you know, some people like to travel, you know, in style, expensively, hotels and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I suppose if I had money, I might care to do that, but I don't have money, and I'm managing to do it on a shoestring. First and foremost, the way that I can afford to get over there is that I don't go out to dinner much. I don't go out and spend a lot of money on food. I cook at home and stop by my mom's house from time to time. And honestly, you'd be amazed just with that, Nancy, how much money you can put aside for the trip. And then I travel by finding beautiful B&Bs with reasonable prices. And I travel very inexpensively, but you could see from my photographs these last trips, I have a wonderful, wonderful time, and I meet just incredible people that now, like I said, they're part of my family, and I'm part of theirs, and it's very special.
Yeah, no, I can really relate to that. I was actually married at the time, so I didn't have a lot of alone. I had alone time because he was working, but there in Ireland when we were there. But if I were alone, I certainly would have engaged a lot more with the people. And I mean, I did go out during the day a lot on my own. But it's different when you're a single person.
Yeah, it's a benefit to traveling alone. And it's funny, just recently someone asked me, you know, do you get lonely? And the answer is absolutely yes. You know, I was there for 6.5 weeks last summer, and I'm going to be there pretty close to 6 weeks this summer. And I do spend a lot of time alone purposely, again, because it's very healing. I need the quiet, but sometimes it is lonely. And, you know, you want to turn sometimes to that beautiful sunset or whatever, my stone church or my stone walls that I fell in love with. And you want to turn to someone and say, hey, look at this. And, and sometimes I can't. So, you know, there's that part of it, but you're absolutely right. Because I'm alone, people approach me differently. If I were with a man or a friend, a girl or whatever, you know, they wouldn't address me in the same way. And I think that makes it easier for me. And I love meeting people, so I think it makes it easy. I would like to travel with someone else some other time. You know, I think there's definitely a benefit to that, but for what I'm needing, which is the beauty of the land and the music, and the time for quiet and healing, nothing compares to Ireland. Nothing could possibly compare.
No. Someday I was hoping that we would get together, you know, before even this. And then, of course, I had a wonderful fall trying to help a little deer, but.
knock it off.
I know, exactly. I'm such a love nature, I really do, but you got to stay away from the wildlife, even if you think you can help them. But getting back to traveling, I really do enjoy traveling, and I started traveling, and then I fell. I went to Portland for 15 days, and then I was going to go to England, and I had a band set up, the Jersey Boys, to sing with, and everything set up, and I had to cancel it. So, because I have to get healthy now, I have to get my shoulder in shape.
And just
but,
keep moving. That's it.
Once that gets better, I'll be ready. But I like to travel really light too. Just throw some jeans and just go. I mean, I drove from San Diego back to New Jersey years ago, and I came back to take care of my mother. I just, just got rid of anything. So I'm ready to travel at any time when I'm healthy, but. Like you said, when you get a concussion or you hurt yourself, you need that time to heal your body, mind, and spirit, especially when you're doing something like giving of your soul to an audience, which is what music is all about. To me, your music, when you open the mouth and you start singing, you are opening your entire being to the universe, and it's just such a wonderful gift. And if you're not really healthy, like you need to be, because the more in tune you are and the more healthy you are, the more beautiful music that you can make. Nobody wants to get up on a stage with a concussion or with like a shoulder that's hurting. You know, you can't. Anyway, I don't want to go off on that tangent, but. So you've been doing this a long time. I was bragging about you to a girlfriend of mine, telling her, oh, my God, I have listened to Sharon sing now for many, many years. And, I'm getting back to Eric. Of course, Eric and I were best buddies for so many years. I mean, way back when Slim Chance and the Gamblers, when I first, introduced them, I started, promoting Mario. and took Mario to Rock and Tommy's show, and took Ronald Davis when we did Old Freehold Day. And of course, Sandy Storm was one of my very close friends. And
well, I was going to say that's actually the first, Nancy, the first time that you and I sang together was at Sandy Storm's
memorial.
Yeah, that was the first time you and I, and also it was the four of us, I remember. It was you.
Yes.
And Maxine Snow and, mm-hmm. oh gosh, I'm blanking on her name. I know exactly who it is. With Bobby D and me. Oh, for goodness sake. Forgive
me. Kelly DeWitt. Kelly DeWitt?
Yes, and Kelly. And the four of us were doing four-part harmony on the stage together. That's the first time that I got to sing with you. And I was sitting with Mario because I had sung with Slim Chance and the Gamblers on a few occasions, and I was sitting with him. And you guys were up there. And he's going, go up, because he and I were doing harmony in our seats. And he's going, get up there, get up there. And I was like, no, they didn't invite me. So he literally like dragged me up and said, okay, Sharon's going to join you. And so then we made it a four-part harmony, but that was it. It was at Sandy Storm's memorial.
Right.
It was quite emotional. Yeah,
I was the very last person that spoke to Sandy before she passed away. And that Friday night we danced together and told each other how much we loved each other. And I told her she was a superstar. And I just am really blessed that I had that time with her before she passed away, and I wish I had known that she was feeling as low as she was. I mean, I knew she was down, but
well,
there was nothing
that
could. There was nothing that could.
Another example of how beautiful our musical community is. You know, it's. I would be singing wherever I live, but I am so blessed to be living right here at the Jersey Shore, and have this incredible musical talent in this area. You know, I haven't booked any gigs really for myself this past year, trying to get myself together. But I've been lucky enough that once in a while, when I do get to go out and have dinner or visit with my friends, I get invited up to, you know, to sing, you know, with Mark Ribbler or Todd or not too long ago with Motor City. You know, Leon is so gracious and invited me to sing with her. And it's so that, you know, I haven't been able to get out too much, but that is so wonderful that once in a while when I get out, you know, I get to sing with these great musicians, and everybody takes care of each other. You know, it's just it's wonderful. Here's one example I'll give you. So back in the fall when the Lyme disease hit me and I got hit hard and I was out of work for a while, I was really hurting. I don't usually put that stuff out there, but I needed help because I didn't know what to do. And I had a lot of people respond to me in private messages. And you know David Altemose, he's a great saxophone and any wind instrument. He's a great musician. And he came over to visit me when I couldn't get up. And several other musicians took time out of their day to come over, brought their guitar over to cheer me up and sang for me. I had a grammar school friend drove an hour and a half with his guitar to come down to cheer me up. But David Altemose came over and he saw that I needed, you know, some serious ice packs. And he went to the store, couldn't find them. And the next day, Amazon delivered them to my house. And, that's the musical community that we live in, people taking care of each other, not, you know, enjoying the musical part, but knowing that sometimes we need a little bit more than that. And I was so grateful to these friends. That was more important than the medicines the doctors were giving me or anything else is folks,
the support,
you know,
right.
showing how much they care, you know. Messages on Facebook is helpful, but people actually showing up. So I just decided, he sent these six great big, you know, those gel packs, those freezer packs. So another musician friend that I like, I saw, you know, Tara Elliott, that wild woman of Betty's Bombshell on the boardwalk, and she heard back, and she can't take any time off from work. She's like working 7 days a week. So I went back up and I brought her one of the ice packs. I said, look, this is a fellow musician brought this to me when I needed it, so I'm paying it forward, and here, take this one and take care of yourself with it, knowing that your musician friends care about you, and you have another friend who needs to pass it on, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what you just shared is such an analogy to exactly what I am doing this very moment is and have been doing since I released my album 7 years ago, because I started, you know, asking, I was asked, and I think that's great that you did reach out like that. I, too, do not put stuff out about. Once in a while, it'll come out if I feel a connection, which I have a connection with you, and I'll share that, oh, yeah, I was helping, I fell. But I usually keep all that stuff to myself. And but after I did my album and completed it, it was a compilation CD of 12 songs, I was asked to be on the Joey Reynolds Show in New York, and then it snowballed, and I was on all of them, you name them, I was on the shows. And I was asked to do radio shows. Would you do a radio show before my show? You know, with many, I won't mention names, but I will. Danny Coleman asked me to do a show before his show. Rock and Tommy asked me to do a show before his show. And then finally I was sitting and Gene Pirro came on, and he goes, hey, it was like an infomercial, and he invited me. If Nancy Wright, you're listening to this, I want you to come on. You can have as many shows as you want. And I literally put my album aside, my life's work aside. I've written like 100 songs, but there were 12 on this one. And it's like I put it aside, and I got involved in giving back to the community that I grew up in, Asbury Park. And I started with not-for-profits, and it has been awesome ever since. And it will be 7 years, September 13th. So before your show tonight, I was thinking, wait a minute, I only have two more people on, and I'm done, because I was doing 2-3 shows a week, and I mean a month rather. I don't do that anymore. It's too much work. But I've had, you name them, they've been on my show. So I ran out of musicians
I want to go back. I want to go back to San Diego. So what years did you live in San Diego?
Oh, my God. I lived, I'd have to give my, I don't care about telling people how old I was, but I went to San Diego when I was 32 years old, and I'm 72 now. So subtract that from, you know, and that's what year I went. And I stayed there for 28 years.
Don't make me do the math. Hey, wait, Nancy.
Look,
don't make me do the math.
You're a teacher. I don't have
what years were you in there? I was in. I lived in San Clemente
from 84
to 95. So right above the last town, right above Camp Pendleton.
I had a great job there.
That's where I lived for that time.
And I left to take care of my mother because I promised her, Mom, if you ever need me, I'll come home.
Talk about going to shows. Did you ever go to the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano? I saw Bonnie Raitt open all of her tours there while I was there. It was fantastic.
I gave everything away to my landscaper.
Are you there?
He had won the lottery, you know.
I don't hear her.
Oh, Art Glass and that cool.
Nancy, did I lose you?
All the stuff out of my house away.
It looks like it's still going.
And I packed my car up with my animals.
Hello.
And I drove cross country by myself. I love it.
Nancy.
I love it. I love traveling by myself.
It's supposed to be 40 minutes, so I think it has 3 more minutes to go.
But
there's nothing I can do about that.
So
I'm going to hang up.
I lived 10 minutes from the beach. I have to be near the ocean. So I lived in Carlsbad and Oceanside area, right in front of like Camp Pendleton, the military, where the military is, the Marines. So I love San Diego. I mean, I was just there, I think it was 7 years ago. And so I had my friends, when are you coming home? What are they doing to you in New Jersey? You're different. Anyway, I'm not like as happy. And I go, well, it is not conducive for me to be what I want to be, and that's outside. So in San Diego, I was outside all the time, you know. I mean, when I wasn't working, of course, but I was always outside and with the Sierra Club and, you know, traveling and, you know, hiking and going to Joshua Tree and going to Hawaii. I was traveling and doing, I was really living the life. So I'm going to start living the life. You and I, we're going to do some things together, like you said the last time we talked. Because, you know, life is short. Before you know it, it's, you know, you never know when your time is up, especially when you're 72 and a half. Hello? Anyway. Are you still there, girlfriend? Sharon? Sharon, don't tell me you dropped. Hello? Sharon? Woohoo! Sharon, where are you? Call back. I don't know what happened, Sean. Hello? Well, I don't know what happened to Sharon. She's supposed to still be in my studio. I think I have to hold on, people. Hold on. Don't go anywhere, everybody. I was, like, blabbing away a mile a minute, as I usually do. She showed up in my studio. Hold on. I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm going to call her from my landline and say, what's going on? Let's see if I can get her. Let's see, 1609-876-5952. Go. Let me put her on speakerphone. Well, I'm not sure if I'm, it looks like I'm still on the line and I'm still on the air. I'm not sure where Sharon, what happened to Sharon. She did tell me, you know, we're having a terrible storm here right now in New Jersey, and there were flood warnings and everything like that. So I don't know. She's pretty far away. So I don't know what happened to Sharon, but she is no longer. It shows she's on my, it shows that she's, that she's in my studio, but I'm not hearing her. So I don't know what to do about that. I'm going to try one more time. And then I have to promote. We only have 3 minutes left anyway. So I'm going to talk about my not-for-profits. I kind of got off on a tangent there. I apologize. Sharon, all I can say is thank you so much, darling, for coming on my show. I really admire you so much. You're a phenomenal singer. You are such a wonderful singer, and you have such a good spirit. And I want you to have a fabulous time in Ireland. And like I said, I'm going to be putting away in my little pocketbook some putting aside some money so that I